is a psalm of David. Many theories of when Psalm 27 was written, both the occasion and the year, but no complete agreement. So let's just look at the psalm generally and then think of the places that it could have applied to David. Well, we'll come to that in a little bit. Would you like to meet David? What would you talk about if you met with David? Well, whatever you value, we have a window into what he values. He's talking about God, specifically the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, God, Elohim. The both will be mentioned in this psalm. Think about it. Where does God fit into your daily conversation and thoughts? Your thoughts, but your daily conversation. Where does it spill out into your daily conversation? Here, we have poetry. When David's writing his creative arts here, this poetry is seemingly looking back on God's works, and it ends with a present call for help in light of his look back. Now, you think about it. When you write, do you doodle? Does your mind doodle during the day? Does your mind just wander? Create? Do you have time to create? Where does it center? Where does it go? David's thoughts and then his creativity often go right to God. So we're going to see here as we start, God's character is highlighted by the personal testimony of confidence. God's character is highlighted by personal testimony of confidence. So first in verse 1, God's character is highlighted. There are three aspects of value as he looks to God. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the defense of my life. Okay, we're not going to do it with all of them, but we will do it with the first. All right, just give me light. All right, light. Light includes, light brings to mind. Go. Go. Light. Go. What? Okay, the Bible says his word is a lamp to our feet. All right, light. All right. So inside God's world, okay, world, it means his word, okay? But no, light, just light. Like, turn off the lights in here. Light, Dacia. Expose, all right? Okay, so exposes. Okay, Sandy. All right, good, all right? Usually, when we say light, there's good. Go. Light. Crystal. All right. All right. All right. Opportunities. Let's just put that. Opportunities. All right. Dark has opportunities, too. But we're going to combine these opportunities with good. Okay? Good. All right? There's you see, and good opportunities. And let's say that go, let's just say beyond. Okay? You turn on the light, and all of a sudden, it widens whatever you're looking at, thinking about. All right? Sarah, go. Okay. Most of my kids don't like when we watch a movie and we watch it in dark, and then you turn on the light or as soon as the movie's over, kind of messes things up. So she's talking about blinds in that overpowering, all right? It can be, all right? What else? What do you got, Jody? Right. She's going to talk. It relates, all right? Relates with fear, all right? Well, I'll just put what she says. Casts out fear. But it has something to do with your ability to act, to, I guess, control. Okay, so she's saying casts out fear, Pastor.
Wonders.
What?
Wonders.
Okay, wonders. All right, that it's a gift to be able to see, to be able to look beyond. You think about any story you've heard about anybody who's blind, or even like glaucoma or something like that, and they have the scales taken off their eyes, and it's clear again. It's clear. All right. My mother-in-law play it in the opposite way. I go, what do you see? And her normal answer is nothing. I go, yeah, on top of nothing, because her eyesight's disappeared. Okay? I said, fine, but what in nothing do you see? And then she starts explaining nothing. I see a green haze. I see a red haze, right? I see spots that are going by, right? And then out of nowhere, she'll read a word. And I thought, oh, I thought she saw nothing. Okay? So there's wonders. There's things that come that back to Sandy's good, Mom. Okay. All right. So wonders. So we're going to say variety. All right? So you think the word splendor and all that stuff. Okay? All right? Yeah, Charles, go. What? Okay, so we say heat. Yeah, you're going to move towards, vibrancy is life, all right? We think of life with it, all right? I'm going to leave heat. There's plenty. Olga. Reality, all right? What do you see? You know that question is what you see. Definitely, we're talking about what is, okay? So she's talking about reality, okay? Sheldon. All right. Creates new opportunities. Opportunities that go beyond. Always something more. You're talking about something alive. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. I have direction, way, security. Hope is involved in all these things with good truth. All right. When you're thinking of reality, thinking of truth, goodness, security, joy. Joy. Just a couple here. I'm not going to do this for every one of these words. Let's work with light, though, okay? So many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance, your face upon us. If you show your face, think about what you're calling light. And the psalmist is saying, when you, God, shine your face on us, it is good. It is good. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good, good evil, who substitute darkness for light, light for darkness. Think about Matthew 6, right? The eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is dark, the whole body will be filled with darkness. Right? And woe to those if your eyes are dark, your whole body is full of darkness, right? Who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You're talking about reality. When you're talking about light, I'm going to do a bunch of these for a minute, all right? You light my lamp, the Lord God illumines my darkness, and now you see, by you I can run upon a troop, all right? I can take on a troop, by my God, leap over a wall. The things that seemed impossible before, I have now courageous opportunities and can go back to what Jody said, against my fears. Now I can move. I'm free to move. When darkness is gone, victorious. I can do. Psalm 36:9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. In your light, we see light. Not just light by itself. Countenance of your face. In your light, there's understanding, there's life. Psalm 43, send out your light, your truth, let them lead me, let them bring me to your holy hill. Remember, holy isn't just pure, holy is above. Whatever is down here is profane. I mean, it is not other than as it was created to be. There's something missing. It's not as evil as it could be. There's goodness here. God is has there's common grace he's shining down here. But there's something beyond. Send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Bring me to your holy hill, to your dwelling places. Somewhere this light is going where God is. Trustworthy, secure. You can follow it. It'll bring you to a place above. Ready? Boom, boom, boom. The three in a row. People who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. There's hope coming. Is it too small of a thing? You should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved ones of Israel. I'll make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. See, I said we're not going to go through the other two terms. The light seems to spill over into, if you have light that comes from God, it seems to spill over into bringing deliverance to then end up being a defense. Psalm 97:11, light is sown like seed for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. You know, it's so funny that I think it was California's having so much fun with trying to get rid of all the gas and all the, right, all the pollution. They're saying that all these LED lights are putting more light pollution up there than whatever the other ones were. As I said, it's this filling. It's a different kind of light that cuts against the darkness. Here it is. Light is sown like seed for the righteous. There it is. Everywhere that his light is, there is gladness for the upright in heart. And this is what a bunch of the people were talking about. Light in the Bible is equated with joy. Joy. It's desirable. Here it is. Arise, shine. We often do this one at Christmas. For your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness will cover the earth. Deep darkness of the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you. What's deep darkness look like in your life? Think about Ephesians 2. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. But God, darkness will cover the earth, deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you. His glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. That light is going to cover you, the people of God, in here. And that others will see it and come and glorify God because of you. So you start seeing this word tied to these next two characteristics. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. All that's needed for deliverance found in God. The Lord is the defense of my life. The defense, my fort, my stronghold. We're talking now not just about, ha-ha, you can't get me. We're talking about terrors that lead to death. All right? Life and death in here. We're talking about specific, this is battle analogy. You'll see it throughout this psalm here. Okay, so we're talking about this, the terrors of death. So my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. In fact, this word for defense is also translated in Psalm 60, verse 7, as helmet. I was watching a football game the other night, and they were talking again about all the technology inside of those helmets now, okay? They can judge. There's so much computer stuff going on to judge what's going on to protect them from concussions. It's a highly technical piece of equipment. The Lord is our helmet, defense, fort, stronghold, protection from death. Okay. Now, when you read this psalm, he's probably lying. It has nothing to do with you. But, foolish fellow, what does he think he has? The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the defense, fort, stronghold of my life. What does he have? Go. Pastor. Okay, security. All right? When his confidence is pointing to security. Okay? If he has these things, he's secure. Go. Dacia. Okay. She said everything needed, and more. And that's important when we get to verse 3. And more. Everything needed. And more. When's the last trip you've gone somewhere and you didn't forget something? You say, well, I never forget something. Okay? Maybe that's the only thing that keeps the postal service in business, right? You forgot, so you have to mail it to you. I'll mail it to you. Everything needed and more. Where was it? Jonathan. Hope. Did you hear that? Hope. And way to get there. You heard that in those verses we looked up. This person, they're probably wrong and foolish and they shouldn't feel like this. But since they do feel like this, all right, and they think this is reality, okay, they have hope and a way to get there. What else? Just pieces. Based on that, don't go further than that. Based on these things, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is a defense, stronghold, fort, my life. What do they have? Brian. Boldness. Boldness. I'm grinning because at what point is it bold and what point is it you're arrogant? See, arrogant means you can't back up your claim. You have no right to say that. Of course, this person's arrogant. But if they're not arrogant, they're confident. There's a confidence in here. Boldness. Confidence. Where was it in here, Mom? What? All right, so she's going to talk about armor, meaning they're protected. They're protected. We talk about safety because we're going to talk about fears. Jim? Right, right. So armor, so we're going to think defense, shield, okay, so protected. Protected, meaning protected as you go in, not as you're running away from and hiding. Because like Brian said, this person's confidence, they're moving right through it, right? They're moving right through it. They're not running away. We're going to see that throughout here. They're running towards it, not away. Anything else? Jody? Yes. Yes. Remember I told you before I got a GPS, I hated bumper-to-bumper traffic. I hate it. So every time you saw an exit, it was a valuable place to go. I was sure that from that exit, you could always get somewhere better than sitting in bumper-to-bumper. That's usually true. But without a phone and without a GPS, it didn't always work. I ended up going 65 miles an hour in a wrong direction, right? All right, so certainty of direction. You were able to do something. What is it? Do you guys fiddle? Do your kids fiddle? Your hands are always moving? I couldn't believe when I'm with the public school kids now, they all have those popper thingies, whatever you call them, all right? They're just always popping. You go, oh, I have them. Are you picking on mine? I don't know. But we're talking about somebody that's not just doing meaningless, empty action. This action is going somewhere that is in line, back to what Jonathan said, hope and a way to get there. Anything else? Okay. Okay. Complete confidence because they can see. Safety, joy, freedom, peace. But it's because of God's presence and work in his life. Don't you make your application. You go, fine, he has it, I don't. We're going to come talk about that in a little bit. But all of this is not just in itself. It is definitely with God there. Okay? God's presence and work in his life. That's why this series, this part is called Confidence in God's Presence. Derek Kidner says, Psalm 27 enlarges on the themes of its subdued neighbors, Psalm 26 and Psalm 28, where they're talking about God's protection, the joy of his house, the psalmist's unquestioning loyalty and trust. See, don't read your doubts and your fears into the psalm. The psalmist has unquestioning loyalty and trust. But what is the occasion? What is the occasion of these claims here for him? What proves these words? He says these words, and talk is cheap. Words mean very little today. So we look here at the circumstances that are highlighting God's character, the surrounding circumstances. Verse 2, when evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies. Enemies seem to be a common part of David's Psalms. But now he's not just talking about, they're all against me, they left me, my friends left me, they betrayed me. We're not just talking about, we're talking about outright war, okay? Whatever all that other stuff is a problem, but now we're talking about aggression back toward him, all right? Bad people, when it says evildoers, this is saying, it's focusing on the psalmist's innocence. In this situation, I'm innocent. Evil people, adversaries, they're against me. They are not for me. Whatever they're doing is against. How do you know? They come near to devour my flesh. Sounds kind of savage, right? For as much as we chew on our fingers when we're nervous, you're kind of devouring flesh. But this is something that's much beyond that. they come close and they say, "You're lucky, you don't even make a good meal for me. I'm going to eat you. I'm going to swallow you and walk right through you." What needs to be addressed when confronting situations represented by verse 2? Don't go getting spiritual on me yet. Just think about verse 2 and what things need to be addressed. Go, Jim. Okay. Are you going forward? What do you do in these situations? Do you run toward it or do you run away? Okay? Forward or retreat? You got to think about that. Go, Sandy. Okay. Who? No, it's okay. Who, where is my hope? I'm not trying to get rid of spiritual application. I'm trying to lead to it so that the culmination in here can be that. But she's right. Whatever it is, if you're in this situation, you know, my kids love to watch Les Mis, okay? And the French Revolution, right? So whatever you're going to do with God, before you size up all your pieces and you just think, I trust this group. I'm going this direction. So who or where is my hope? You know this psalm is not going to let us get away with anything shy of God himself. And that's where we're going. But you need to think very carefully who or where your hope is in. I would say for most Christians today in America, we say God, but life shows it's often God and something else. All right? So who or where my hope is in? What needs to be addressed in here, Sheldon? Right. Okay. So sobriety of life, death. Okay? When you go forward and it's something to die, you got to say, "All right. Forward means death. I've got that." All right? I've packed my bags. I have counted the cost. All right? Who or where my hope is in? Now I move forward, realizing this is not just bravado. It's not a lot of noise. It's not just, we're going to talk about this. In verse 6, it talks about shouts of joy. I'll offer up sacrifices in your tent. That word shout there is usually the word that they do when they run forward in battle, right? They all shout, put up their swords, and go, right? That's to stifle the fears that are there, okay? Here, there's a sobriety of life and death. You have to think of it, Pastor. Okay, emotional and mental state. Remember I've said, you know, for whatever Alzheimer's or dementia patients that are angry and grumpy and all that, there's a few of them that are really sweet, right? And whatever day we're good at, they're good at cleaning the bathroom, there they are, cleaning the bathroom all day, every day. Well, I don't know, put them in another bathroom. They'll clean that one all day, every day. And I thought, this is nice, I guess. I mean, I miss their lemon meringue pie or whatever else they made, but they could sure clean the bathroom still. But you think, this really stinks if they're peaceful because their mind left them. What is your mental state when you come to these situations? Are you in control of your faculties? And what are those faculties? Your mental and emotional state. You better think about it. Go. What you got, Jody? Yes, right. Weapons, tools, all right? If we're talking about a battle, that's what it is. You don't bring a spatula to a battle, okay? Is it weapons or tools? You got to realize, like he said, it's life and death, right? You don't make them brownies and they're happy. This is a fight, all right? Weapons, tools, resources. What is available and what do I bring? Go. What do you got? It's Crystal, go.
How did it end up here?
Yeah.
Usually we don't realize how bad things are getting, so it does get to the point where boom, things are going to blow up. And
So when you ever watch movies like that, right? Right before these battle scenes, it seems like everything just slows down, right? And all of a sudden you get all these flashbacks, right? That are playing around with right before everything gets crazy, you start getting these, where did this come from And where is it going? Back to what Sandy said. Where's the hope? The way through this. You better address that. Got it? Got it? Anything else? What should we do? What should we feel? What do we value most? What resources? We need a clear picture of reality that includes the dark. This little thing of, well, I don't know, however bad it is, we could just make it through here, all right? You have to, as Jesus will say in the New Testament, count the cost before you take on an army that's larger than your own. Before you build, you need to know the cost. Reality that includes the dark, the difficult. All of this stands against David's claims about God. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the defense, my impregnable fortress, all right? Meaning not just you can't get me, but my life is spared. All of this stands against David's claims. Plummer says, the light is implying here seasons of darkness. The faith and courage regarding David's success is shaken because of the fierceness of the taunts and the power of the enemies. Now, because you just read through this so quickly, it doesn't even hit you like this. It doesn't hit you because the next words go, they stumbled and fell. You go, oh yeah, fine. All right, he prayed, somehow God answered, and we move on. No, it's unexpected. When you read this as it goes, as he's recounting this from the past, it was a totally unexpected result. They came upon me to devour my flesh, meaning I thought so, they thought so. They were my adversaries and my enemies. They stumbled and fell. Instead of their victory, they fell over. Because of this, he says, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I dread? Two different words for fear. Kyle and Dalich says, the attitude here is, let darkness break in on me, the darkness of night, of trouble, of spiritual conflict, yet Jehovah is my light. Now here's where we get to what Dasha was saying. This light does not set and it is not eclipsed. In God, his life is hidden as if it were behind a fortress built upon a rock. This is his testimony. He goes, place my hand on the Bible. This is what happened. This is my testimony. Confidence in the sufficiency of God's presence because of God's deliverance. Confidence in the sufficiency of God's presence because of God's deliverance. All right, let's work on another piece of this. When do we accept another's testimony? When do you accept another's testimony? Another's experience of reality. When do we accept it? Sandy. Yes. No. She's saying before whatever comes in and somebody goes, this is what happened, if you accept or reject it, it's going to be based on something that was established beforehand. Some measure of determining right from wrong that you had beforehand. Taryn, when do we accept another's testimony? Okay, beforehand. She said when we can validate it. Okay? Whatever our mental, emotional state is, whatever that standard is, you're wanting to put it to the test. Right? Put it to the test. I think of that every time somebody says, let's do a cardboard boat race. I think, I don't want to be in a water with anything in cardboard. Okay? You go, no, trust me. This one floats, okay? I have to have a standard, but it has to go through some sense of reality for me. All right? So it's, there's something, well, I see the stuff in my backyard that I forgot to put away. Oh, that floated when it rained. Okay, so maybe there is something that can float, right? There's some when you can validate it somehow. What else do you got? What, Nicole? Okay. Signs off. Okay. When an expert signs off. Who was that? Singer that just got nailed for supposedly endorsing cryptocurrency because she didn't say it was an ad. You see that? That it kind of said it, but not enough, and everybody put their money into it because she supposedly said it, and then it was like, well, no, I was paid to do this ad for this company, so they all lost money for it, okay? But we're talking about somewhere that somebody has some kind of credibility in supposedly with that standard that you had beforehand. That's the only way that the celebrity can be valuable is if you valued them beforehand. That's the only way they can sell you a hamburger or something else that has nothing to do with why they're a celebrity, is if you if that's how your standard worked. Where was it? Brian? Go. Yes. So when expert signs off, so we're going to say trustworthiness, and you're right. These are circular things because, like Sandy said, you better have decided ahead of time what trustworthy is, right? Trust me, trust me. That's why when doubt comes in here, I've told you, how do we build relationships in here? With a little bit of mistrust. The arm of flesh will fail. You're going to hear that over and over in this psalm, right? You know it's in the Old Testament all over the time. Is God's always saying, he's coming down and comparing himself. Who are you going to liken me with? He goes, are you going to go to Egypt? You know, the arm of flesh will fail. So when, but when somebody goes, I trust you, yeah, that only works until they don't. You're going to have to trust beyond what we can see and hear. That's why eventually, yeah, like Sandy said, we stammer around this. Eventually, if we cannot get high enough to be God alone, it's going to have a hole in it. So the trustworthiness whatever, just trustworthiness. That'll work. Anything else, Crystal? Okay. Okay. Most of us, forget about suicidal, don't do that, all right? But if you fall in right above Niagara Falls, most of you, if there's a turtle going by, you're going to grab it, right? You're just like, somehow, I hope you're not going over, and if you do, I hope you can paddle enough. I'm going over on your back, right? Meaning, depends how desperate you are. You rethink. You want to go over with a turtle? No. You want to go over with a stick? No. You want to... But all of a sudden, you're in there, and you're desperate enough, you go, yeah, turtle. Turtle's number one, okay? So desperation makes you... What, where was it? Forgive me. Levi, go.
Along the same lines, when you want something to be true, okay. You look for evidence for that.
Okay. All right. All right. In that, desperate speaks of life and death with that. But here now we're talking about desire, your needs, right? Your needs change in that. I want something. Think about that. When we're often bored with God, all right? Think of how he creates desire. Your desire or needs cause you. Ho, everyone who thirsts, right? Isaiah 55, 1. Where is it? It's back in here. Jody. Yes. Right. If coincides with assumptions, okay? That's what Jim Berg talks about in Change Into His Image. Remember, he said, the ways of God are foreign to the natural man, right? We're going to talk about that. We're not going to make it here tonight. About we can talk all we want about David's testimony or you following God, but if there's not something supernatural working in your heart, you're not going to get there, all right? Jim Berg refers to that as an alien being dropped in Times Square, all right? An alien. Do you want to walk the alien through New York City? A real alien? You know, you go, oh, yeah, that's really cool. Let's go up and see it. We'll all watch it from a distance. Say, hi, my name is John, and I'd like to take you through Times Square, right? Most of us, half of us would not want to be in Times Square anytime, right? But for the other side, how would you feel? See, you're talking about a mental and emotional state. The alien says, I want to go home, right? E.T., go home, right? All right? But if you already have assumptions, and it already fits with your worldview. See, if you've been to Philadelphia, you go, I can do New York. Philadelphia, New York, same thing, right? Yeah, there you go. If anybody cares, most of us don't want to be in the city, but some of us do, all right? If you already have some assumptions, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the one who trusts in him. Forgive me, Mom. Okay, all right, trustworthy. Just follow that one, follow to the roots, okay? You got to get your feet down somewhere, right? That was my whole thing with the turtle. You know, I did this with a youth group years ago. I was coming up with a dumb example, and I said, who will you let cut your hair? I said, if you're both on a float in the pool, will you let somebody cut your hair? Would you let your hairdresser cut your hair if you're both on a different raft in the pool? And you're like, well, what kind of weird example is this? I said, no, go ahead. Anybody you trust that cut your hair, they're on a raft. You say, no, I'd rather that at least one of us had our feet on the ground if they're going to cut my hair. Right? They have to have something. So she's saying that not just do I think they're trustworthy, they mean well, but they can't back it up if they're not on something that's solid. And you have to keep following it down to the roots. All right? Was there somebody else that cut off? Okay. What are the benefits of considering this testimony? I'm trying to fight against any cynicism that's going to say, good for him, it's not where I'm at. What are the benefits for considering his testimony as valid? Go. Dacia. Okay, so to reword that, according to this question, she said, recognizing how small our picture of God is, the hope of a God who, I'm going to just say, can. She said, recognizing how small our picture of God is, if you accept his testimony, means you go, nah, 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 and then they go, oh, tomorrow. I just talked to somebody yesterday. I said, it was amazing that you went ahead and did this. And they said, well, somebody else pushed me over the edge. Their value for that other person pushed them in a direction they weren't quite ready to go, but they trusted that other person. And all of a sudden, they were able to see something they wouldn't have seen otherwise. That you might get the hope of a God who can. Jonathan. When you looked at a scripture verse today, why did you look at it? When you thought about God today, how did you walk away knowing that if you were tied with him, you could? You could what? When you came for Bible study and then prayer, you know, why is a church that doesn't pray together, why is that a scary thing? You know, no matter how much logic we do, no matter how good you feel after a talk, it meant you didn't need God to accomplish what God called you to do. That's at best, if you even care what God called you to do. Other than that, you didn't need God to help you with life. Somebody said that before. You have everything you need and more. For what? Life and godliness. Okay? Talked about that in 1 Timothy. Tranquility, remember? If everything's quiet, quiet! Then what grows in the quiet? Can you go to sleep? If your soul's quiet, can you eat? Can you build friends? Can you behold the beauty of the Lord? You know we're going there in verse 4. You can. What else? Jody. Okay. One of the benefits of our considering this testimony, back to what Levi said. Get your desire or need. You know, on the false side, we want it to be true so bad that we just pretend it's true, all right? All right, we're denying reality of that, all right? You know, I get cancer, well, I know I'm going to die. Or I have cancer, but I'm not going to die. Or whatever you're doing, what's backing that up? Either side of what you're saying. What is backing that up? Okay? But if you will consider this testimony, perhaps you'll get the desire that's tied with God. You'll get what you need. He said this came from the presence of God. It was no deliverance apart from the presence of God. Forgive me, it was in here somewhere. Where was it? Who was it? Oh, it was there. Sarah.
It's not just a broken testimony. He's saying that he has struggled, and we can relate to that. And also just the fact that David was called a man after God's own heart. And kind of going into the idea of Paul, that follow me as I also follow Christ. You know, the people that are close to God see him in a different light that we can also see as well.
Okay. Complete reality that includes the struggles. See, if we're not careful, the church is so busy saying, God can, God can, God can, God can, and we're just saying that over and over and over while our lives are saying, no, he can't, no, he can't, no, he can't. And you look at everybody's life and you go, no, he can't, no, he can't, no, he can't. We've left out all that's... the road is narrow that leads to life. The way is hard. Few there be that find it. That's not a thing of, ha-ha, I found it. It's saying it's harder than you ever thought. Or Jim Berg had said that too. That book's in my head because I've used it with many of you over and over. He said you never know the power of sin in your life until you try to fight against it. Only Jesus didn't give in to the temptation. The rest of us, eventually, we give in somewhere. Go ahead. Say no to ungodliness. That's why you need the grace of God in Titus 2:11. The benefits of considering this testimony... It speaks of a definite direction. You don't have to spin endlessly. The walls that are real in front of you, remember that verse back, by God I can leap over a wall. We're not just saying whatever wall is there you're going to get over. We're saying whatever's stopping you. You might be looking at the wrong thing. You might be focused on it, but your life's not over. There can be forward motion with purpose. You know when you deal with David that whatever you are going to do, whatever you decide to do, this psalmist, David, is going to go with God. He's going to trust him. Yeah, we didn't say he didn't sin and all that other stuff. We're talking about the worldview of this psalm. He's going with God. We'll see what that looks like in verses 4 to 6. He's going to put energy behind this. God is valuable. He is my light, my salvation, and my defense. In fact, he's going to be willing to break with the pack if necessary because of his complete confidence. What does another's confidence give us? For time's sake, I'm just going to move through this. It gives us hope to look again, hope to continue, hope to go further than your own experiences. I hope if you walk away from tonight, we're not going to finish even as far as I wanted to get tonight. We only have a few more minutes here. But I hope, if nothing else, you can go home and study how God is an answer to fear and the forces of evil. What does God say about why you should look to him? God is my light and my salvation. God is the defense of my life. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I dread? Go study why God is to be where you focus when you have fears and you face the forces of evil. God is light. Even in the face of what threatens all of life, he's a stronghold. Okay, but this is not just your little personal application. I'll come back to that. Go ahead, Jonathan, what are you thinking? Okay. Something to hold on to bridge the gap. See, it might feel like a turtle for you. If it is, then good luck. But maybe it's not. If you being evil, right? If your son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you being evil know how to give good gifts. Yeah, but God's always trying to teach me something. Teach me something. He knows that I'm just a little idolizer, and so he's going to take away. Okay, fine. He disciplines for our good so we may share his holiness. It gives you something to hang on even when your heart's not there yet. Hang on to it. Remember, I don't play those adventure video games much, but all of them were based on getting pieces that you needed for another level. Collect them. Just collect them. Collect them. Collect them. You're going to need it then. You don't know why you're going to need it, but you're going to need it then. Okay? Collect it. Daisha, do you have one? Oh, no. Okay. All right. This isn't just for you to go, okay, David felt like this, and I should look where David's looking. This isn't just for us. It was first David. David's writing this, and whether you believe it or not, this is what he is saying, but it isn't just for him to write it down and go, I feel good about God being my light. David needed this for David. Past experience of God's protection stands guard over present emotions. Verse 3, though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. By saying this, David speaks to all that is against him, that might come against him, that will come against him. He's talking about individual opposition. He's talking about national opposition. He's talking about big. He's talking about small. He's talking about every kind of evil or trouble. He's saying there will be a time for fear. It wasn't just yesterday that I needed light and salvation and stronghold. I still need light, salvation, and stronghold. You're going to see that from verses 7 to the end of this. Verses 7 to the end. There's a refuge from danger, the attack. I think this will be the last question, yeah, for tonight. All right, maybe you haven't, all right? There's a few Eeyores in here, like me, or Puddle Glums, okay, who say, it's never been there. God's never helped with anything. I don't think I've ever felt his presence, and I don't care about my feelings anyway. All right, for some of us, somewhere, somehow, something, you said, God was close. God was near. God was light. God was deliverance. God was defense. If we've had past light and deliverance, why do we struggle so much with present fears? Nicole. By who he is, but what?
By the people around us.
By people around us. Past is the past. And so done. Sandy. You know, remember, can you drink this cup? Right? Jesus asked the disciples, said, yes, we can drink it. He said, you don't know what you're saying, but you will drink it. Their moving through it was going to be based on God's working in their life, not on their... They didn't realize just how little they had. Their faith was too small. There's a pile of you. Jonathan? Don't you love it when you and God can get through everything? Like, oh yeah, now I know what he's doing. I got this. I'll bring the peanut butter. Right? I'm like, why didn't I ask you to bring the peanut butter? Right? You know, and we joke about all this, but you know, life will show whether you're leaning on God. See, back to what Jonathan said before, if you take this testimony, you might have something even when it's not yours yet. Are you willing to let words be that aren't where you're yet, where you are yet? So you think about that with this hurricane, right? Bridges disappeared, highways disappeared. Before that, you say, how do you get home? Well, you take this road, this road, this road. Now you go, well, I don't know, you get a boat, right? The road's gone. Can you let a road exist that you're not on yet? We're still leaning on ourselves. Sheldon? No. We're going to say this in here. The very, right, see, and then the more. Go. Right. Right. Yes, it is. It is. But the point is, see, that's why I said, when we can't do this whole psalm at once, I knew when I'd study today, this is why I said I had to get past verse 3, because you're going to go, yay. But what about all the times when I don't feel like this? It says, wait, he's coming to that. Because, I mean, my family had fun when we said that verse today. What's that verse? Verse, blah, 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 blah. All right. Verse 8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Well, it didn't say it like that. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. And you go, oh, stop the drama. All right, when you have the fear, see, that's, you know, Calvin and Hobbes, no, John Calvin, and all the other guys I was studying today made it very clear that the point of what he's doing is going back and talking about the trustworthiness of God before is evidence that there is fear right now. This is what he's doing for present and future fears. We're gonna pick that up here. As we work our way through this. Was that Jody? Say it again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not really believed that from God. I'm going to call that the God of the gaps. Yeah, the God of the gaps. I always heard that the God of the gaps was right. Right? The earth is flat. No, the earth is round. You know, there's a society around that's saying the earth is flat again. Okay? Well, that's what I was told, at least. Okay? But, so when we finally figure out that it's round, we go, oh yeah, of course it's round. Everybody knows that. Okay? But before, if you found out, you didn't know that before, right? Same until we got this new, whatever that telescope is thing that we got now. All right? And we got rid of the old one, and now we can see it. We go, oh, now we know. We understand all this stuff now, right? Before it was God. Now we understand. God of the gaps is everything that wasn't understood before. Is us. And if we can figure out, and the doctor did an amazing surgery, say the doctor did an amazing surgery. Was it really God? Or was it the doctor? Whatever you say about God in there. Hannah? Mm-hmm. Okay. Forget. You think about these things. We come back, we pick it up next week as we look both for his response, but then whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives hope, Romans 15:13, fill you with all joy and peace, it says, in believing, or as you trust in Him, so that you may abound with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The pastor said it Sunday morning, you don't become a Christian by just following Jesus. There must be something that comes from the Spirit of God. You go and talk to God about this tonight. Sing a verse of this.